welcome to another inspirational message from Pastors Dave and Jenny Gilpin. Dave and Jenny are the senior pastors of Hope City Church. For any more information or for any more resources, go to davegilpin.com.
Simon has been like fixing things up in your life lately. Like he's talked about your relationships, like how to relate well, hasn't he? Did like 2 weeks ago, how I read it. I don't know if you're listening. Like practical tips. On how to relate to people, how to come out from your own isolation. Yeah. And then last week, he decides to sit down like a financial guru and to reorganize your financial life. And I would call it meddling. Like leadership's been meddling in stuff that's traditionally private. I don't think anyone's talked to you about your non-relational aspects of your human behavior before and how it probably needs fixing up. And I don't think anyone's really talked to you and sat down in a stool and talked to you about your finances before. And I would say it's slightly annoying. But you know, for you to change, you're going to have to go through a slightly annoying period. Like none of us like getting told what to do. Like I love my wife, right? But when she tells me what to do, just something rises up within me. It's only for 10 seconds or so, right? And then I make that 50th cup of coffee for the day, right? It's, you know, it's just, I do it, right? I've got no problems doing it. But something rises up within me when she says, can you do me a favor? Because she's going to ask me to do something that's slightly inconvenient for me. And I think between who you are now and who the next you is, there's going to be some levels of inconvenience. There's going to be some levels of annoyance. And let me say, you're not alone, right? That every one of us have an RTC factor, a resistance to change factor within us. And you know, when Galileo said that the earth was not the center of the universe, he was arrested. He was put in jail for saying that the earth was not the center of the universe. And that's because humanity, we're all bitten with the same thing, that we're all bitten with an RTC factor, resistance to change factor. And I think if you could just know that it's common to humanity and know that even your senior pastor has it within him, then it just might make it slightly easier to know that you need to break through that. Yeah. That if you're going to be a part of this church, you're going to be not just made happy, you're going to be made annoyed from time to time as people speak things into your world that no one's spoken to you about before. And we live in a really individualistic culture, right, where you're allowed to do whatever you like to do, and people get into massive debt by doing that. People get into massive addictions. People gamble secretly at nighttime. People go in and out of relationships. Most people are on a rebound relationship rather than a design relationship because of the individualism, because nobody takes advice. And I would think for us to go from a good church to an incredibly awesome church, for us to be the church that God's designed, I think you're going to have to go through the RTC factor, the resistance to change factor. And the thing that's, when I go down to my local shopping center, it's called Crystal Peaks, right? And they used to make, it was designed like out of fake crystals to make it look icy and warm, wonderlandish, right? But this one shop that hasn't been replaced there, it's called Blockbusters. And it's still empty. And I remember going down there with my son when he was like 9 years, 10 years, 11, 13 years of age. We used to go down there on a Friday night and spend ages, because most of them were too rude for him and me, right? So we used to spend ages, you know, trying to find just that movie. And it was part of our background, part of what we did. And now the shop lies empty, because it was an outside the shopping center shop that you could actually drive to and then take out and go. And I think we've got a commitment that you don't become like Blockbuster. I think there's something in us that like it's easy to become a blockbuster, to become part of what was rather than what is and what is to come. And it's kind of difficult, you know, like there's a change of technology, there's a change, but you know, in one respect, Blockbuster should have reinvented. It shouldn't be Netflix. It should be Blockbusters online. Why? And it's because they were busy distributing and buying in videos while the world was changing. And I, you know, we have got a commitment to you. If you're a part of this church, a commitment to the next you. And the next you is the Netflix you. It's not the Blockbuster you. And even though we've got fond memories of Blockbuster, we've got fond memories of a Nokia 3310 or something like that. We've got fond memories of it, right? But there is a time that you should switch to Apple. Yes. If you want a fire, switch to Samsung. There is a time that somehow you got to flick the switch within you. Otherwise, you will be lost in history. And in Newcastle, there's thousands of people right now that said, no, I'm just going to have church at my home. Have a few friends around. I bet the friends aren't coming around now. And it's because they're a part of something that was, not a part of something that is. And in the economy of God, the best is yet to come. For every one of you, not one of you has passed your sell-by date. For every one of you, the best is yet to come. But it's got to be a new you. It's got to be an expanded you. There's got to be some changes that take place for God to put the new wine in to the new wineskin. I'll just read you the scripture, right? This is what Jesus said. He said, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment in Matthew chapter 9, verse 16 and 17. He said, the patch is going to pull away from the garment. And then he said, and make the tear worse. And so sometimes God just stops putting newness in you, because if it's newness upon old, it's just going to make you worse. And so sometimes God just puts horses out to pasture. And it's not his design. It's just that if you put that old horse on the racetrack, it's going to have a heart attack. And then he says that neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skin will burst and the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. They put new wine into new wineskins and both are preserved. So, you know, it seems to me that the reinvention's in the air. And you're going to have to learn. None of us become masters of reinvention because of the RTC factor. But you're going to have to be a little better at it. Like, I'm dreading the day when bell bottoms come back for men who love skinnies. Like, it's something in me is going to say, Dave, you're going to die in your skinnies, right? But... you know, there's going to be something, something's going to change. Something's got to have to happen within me and my mentality. And it's the same with you. A lot of you come from backgrounds and church backgrounds that there's certain things that you like and there's certain things that you do and there's certain things that we don't do. You know, often people say, how often do you have communion? And I say once a month, and this look of dread and disappointment come upon them. They can do communion by themselves, by the way, and they can have it with their friends any night of the week. It's just that they're hanging every part of their Christian doctrine off the church on a Sunday in a 1.5 hour service. And they get incredibly disappointed because that's what they were fond of. But I was fond of Blockbuster. And so it's not a fundamental doctrine. There's something in you that is fond of the past. And I've got to say, your past was never quite as good as you think it was. Otherwise, you'd still be there. And if your friends were as good as you say they were, you'd still have those friends. It would seem to me that your history is being a square peg in a round hole. And even though we've had some good times in the past, you were still slightly out of shape. It didn't quite fit into the history of your life. And if you had a reality check, you've never fitted. But you know, it's God's intention that he just rounds off the edges, that you become what he has designed, a round peg in a round hole. So he's going to have to knock the edges off in order to get you in the right place, to reposition you. And for some of you, that whatever place and whatever hole you were in the past, God's taking you to a brand new spacious place. And it's just at the moment, you're in the awkward place. But he's so committed to you to take you to a spacious place, a fresh place. I mean, freshness is a huge part of life. And some of you just feel worn out and feel like you're treading in mud and feel unfresh. God wants to bring your va-va-voon back, your freshness back, your pizzazz back again. You know, he's just so committed to it because, you know, just to freshen you up a bit. But he's got to just reposition you to do that. So it's kind of like an awkward place. I would suspect for a number of you in this room that you're in an awkward place, you know. And I get that, you know, in bringing my son Ryan up, we only have one child, but bringing him up, sometimes he looked awkward because I wasn't going to buy clothes that fitted. I mean, if you want to waste money on children, make them look really good. Because give a little bit of time, you know, that those clothes are just going to look ridiculous. So you always buy clothes too big. It's a money saver, and plus it's wise. And I would think that right now that some of the clothing you've got on from God is too big. And you're used to better fitting clothes. But he's done it deliberately because he's taking you somewhere. You're not miles off course, you know. He is so committed to you. And this is a journey that he's taking you on. It's the journey of reinvention that God's taking you on. Let me read another scripture. And it's just from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. This is when he mentions reinvention. And we with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. So in the presence of God, when we're having a look, a Google at God, Googling God, goggle boxing God, having quiet time, spending time with God, we're being transformed. That's the word reinvented. In his image, with ever increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I love that. You are being transformed, which you know, the hallmark of Christianity isn't holiness. It's not whether you smoke or don't smoke. It's not whether you're on Coke or non-Coke. It's, the hallmark is change, that you're being transformed. It's because otherwise you make it a standard of holiness, which is most unfair because the true standard is where you've come from. You've all come from completely different places. And some of you have different personality types and some of you are more prone to addiction behavior, and some of you more prone to religious, but every one of us comes from different backgrounds. And so the measure of your faith is just change. It's because as you look at God, then you are being transformed from glory, from G to G is how we like to say it. From glory, ever increasing glory is the New King James, ever increasing glory. And so something's happening in your life today because of ever-increasing glory. So I often say that the hair of the Samson church is starting to grow back again. And sometimes when your hair's cut off by mishap and by misadventure and by misfortune and by the devil, sometimes you can get used to having no hair. And sometimes it's quite awkward. Ladies, you know what I mean. When you're growing your hair, there's an awkward stage, if you know what I mean. And, you know, just, and yet, along with that awkwardness, your strength's returning. So that in the last day in Samson's life, he killed more people. He exercised the justice of God more on the last day than in all of the other days put together. The hair the hair of the Samson church is starting to grow back again. Because God is, he is transforming you. You are changing. And it might be one degree at a time, but that's the Christian faith in operation. The word transformed is the word metamorphosis, which is the transformation that a caterpillar goes through to become a butterfly. And a caterpillar spends all its time saying, "You'll never get me up in one of those things." And then he's up in one of those things. But we used to break open chrysalises in Australia. Because Australia's filled with all kinds of creatures, right? And at school, we did all kinds of things to grasshoppers. But with chrysalises, in doing that, the whole thing's going to die. Because the very resistance of the butterfly coming out from the chrysalis actually creates the strength of the butterfly. So I would say that a degree of the resistance against you is not satanic. It's like a gym. A gym's a satanic. But the only way you get muscle power is through resistance. And so again, what's awkward and what you think is against you is actually for you, because it's causing you to rely upon God again. And you haven't for years. It's not a natural bent for humans to rely upon God. It's a natural bent for humans to rely upon themselves. And so some of you hit a brick wall, some of you hit a chrysalis, some of you hit something that won't just bow down to you. And this is so that God's strength can be placed inside you. Because God is committed to transformation. Now, let me just say personally, right? Because I have made a commitment to being transformed by God, and I think it's because I've tried to change everything around about me and found that it's very difficult to change. But the easier thing is to change me. So I've gone for me. But I realize that it's not just theoretically. It should be, Dave, you're a little bit better today, and tomorrow. But when you actually, it's like going on a diet. Like the graph is not continuous, is it? It's not just a linear graph, just 1.5 pounds last week, 1.5 pounds this week, 1.5 pounds next week. It's not true. It's just not true, right? It's almost an awkward transition in order to lose weight. And it's the same with the transforming power of God. It's a bit like the earth's surface. When pressure builds up under the sea, the earth should just mold to the pressure, but it doesn't. It resists it. And in the resistance, it groans. And some of you have groaned with temper. And some of you have groaned with depression. Some of you literally groaned with not another part of the journey, right? But the pressure only builds up so much, then all of a sudden the plates of the earth shift. Yeah. Yeah. And there's a change, and that change gives off and emits an incredible energy and sometimes causes a tsunami. But that's how the earth changes. And I think that's how you change. It's spasmodic, but it's designed. There's increased tension, but then you surrender to God. And you've changed. So just to take the pressure off you, like if you're dieting, it's quite cruel just to say 1.5 pounds every single week, consistent, right? Because you'll eventually give up, because those donuts you secretly stop off out of the services, right? You'll eventually give up. But if you realize that it's pressure build up, then change. Pressure build up, then change. Pressure build up, then change. Pressure build up, then awkward, then change. 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 Then you, somehow that Nokia 3310 just whips from your hand. And then you're left with nothing in your hand. Which is the best place to be. Because while you're holding your Nokia, God can't give you your Apple. While you're visiting Blockbuster too much, God can't transport you to your Netflix. And so I would think there's a state of nothingness that needs to come in between the moments of transformation, where you become a nobody. Now, I'll tell you how it works, right? It's because who we are is associated with our identity. Our identity is associated with our past. Our identity is associated generally with what we've done, the achievements that we've made, the associations we've got, the people that we're with, right? And I would think that a lot of that stuff God wants to strip you of because he wants to get you ready for the next big thing. And the next big thing starts with the next you. So often there's a stripping back from you having been a someone to you being a no one. Now, let me say this, right? I've been through midlife crisis. And I would say, I could say it's the hardest thing in the world, but I would say that the principles of it are the same principles that everyone needs to go through reinvention, where you've got to accept being a nobody to then being reinvented back into a somebody. But you know, when you become a somebody, your securities aren't in on that somebody. They're on the somebody who made that somebody. And so it's a cleansing operation. But some of you need to let go of in order to take a hold of. And it hurts to let go of things that are still good but not great. It kind of hurts, I guess it hurts a tree to lose its leaves in autumn, but it has to have an autumn to have another summer. So that's you. You've got to have an autumn to have a summer. So you've got to lose your leaves, look a bit ugly, because those leaves were good looking, right? Everyone rested under the shade on the previous summer. But if you want your next summer, then you're going to have to lose your leaves and go through the seasons. And I would say this is the cycle of reinvention. It starts off with incredible inspiration, and then it moves into application, and then it moves into dedication. And then it moves into perspiration. So what was good? Because it started off with fresh inspiration. What was good? It led to incredible application in the history of your lives. And then it led to, you know, the more difficult time, but incredible dedication to the stuff in the past within your life. But then it moves into perspiration. That's the time that you need to seriously think about dropping your leaves. That you need to seriously think about reinventing for fresh inspiration from the Holy Spirit. And then a church like this comes along, which is different to your previous church, or maybe you got saved in this church, but it's different to your previous existence, and your cage is being rattled. But I'm here to say to you, just calm down. Calm down, right? A tree doesn't sweat when it loses its leaves, because it knows it's on its way. And so just calm down. This ugly stage, this stage of I was a someone, now I'm a nobody, is good for you. Because your security was on the time you had a lot of money, the time you had a lot of friends, the time you had a beautiful relationship, the time you had a ministry, the time that you had worldly success. But it's not good for you because the more of that you have, the more your relationship with God cools down. And you know that's the case. People don't die going up Everest. They die going down Everest. And generally, too much success kills you. It intoxicates you. And so God somehow strips us of success. It's not that he doesn't want to prosper, but he wants to lead us into further and greater success than you've ever seen in your life before. So there's always a stripping back before there's a filling of. And so some of you are in that situation right now. So I've only got like another 10 minutes to say, but let me talk about what I think is the master key in all of this, and it's humility. It's the ability to surrender, the ability to give in to God, and the ability to give in to the providence of God and say, God, you're provident. The ability to stop fighting. It's quite difficult, right? But the ability to stop fighting people, the ability to stop hating situations, and the ability just to lean upon God, to surrender to God. It's humility isn't pulling yourself down because you're still focused on yourself. Humility is surrendering yourself to God. And there's an art to it. You know, a proverb that I mention often is a Jewish proverb that says that a man ought to have two pieces of paper, one in his left pocket, one in his right pocket. And left pocket it reads, "For I am but dust." And in the right pocket, it reads, "For me the world was created." And humility is holding two pieces of paper at exactly the same time. "For I'm but dust, and for me the world was created. I'm both broken and brilliant. I'm both awful and awesome." And if you can hold those two pieces of paper at the same time, that's humility. Now, if you just hold "I'm but dust," right, which a lot of people in theology, and it's straight from the Bible that we're but dust, right? But if you hold that and squeeze it too much, eventually you'll shrivel up. You'll be so self-conscious and so self-demeaning that you'll shrivel up with it. But if you just hold the "for me the world was created," and that theology is certainly in the Bible because we're the sons and daughters of God. If you just hold that by itself, you'll swell up. You see a lot of swelled up people on Christian television. But if you could hold both pieces of paper on both dirt and diamond, it almost becomes self-effacing because then you're not shriveling up, you're not swelling up, you're just graciously lifting other people up. And so it's kind of like the ultimate disappearing act. And if you could go through the ultimate disappearing act, but realize that you are on God's radar, that God is creating the next summer season of fruitfulness within your life. He means business with you. And so if you can disappear from all of the satellite dishes that have registered your activity, and if you could go silent, but not on God's radar, then God's in for business. Whoever loses his life shall gain life. But whoever holds on to his life shall lose his life. So a lot of winners in Hollywood are actually losers in eternity. And a lot of people who lose in this life are actually winners of eternity. Let me read you what James says about humility, right? In James chapter 4, verse number 6 says that God opposes the shriveler and the sweller. Okay, so because you think humility is pulling yourself down, that's an inverted form of pride because it's still about you, you whinger. God opposes the shriveler and the sweller, but shows favor to the humble. Even that's one of the most brilliant verses in the entire Bible. That God should show favor. So while you're unfavored, while you're not the flavor of the month, while you've got no hit records, God is showing you favor. In your invisible place, God is favoring you, displaying his favor upon you. And in verse number 7 to 10, here's the small print. It says, "Submit yourselves to God, resist the devil," put up the white flag to God, right? "Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Come near to God," that's a key verse, "and he'll come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners." Oh, okay then. "Purify your hearts, you double-minded." Oh, you've got me there, Lord. "Grieve, mourn, and wail." I thought the Bible was happy. "Change your laughter into mourning." Really? Is this in the Bible? "Your joy into gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he's going to lift you up." It's going to lift up the church of the living God. So we're not peripheral to society. We're in the center of society. And it's going to come through the humility of the saints. Through the humility of the saints. Stop getting on your hobby horse about Donald Trump, because everything in him is in you. Stop calling other people racist. It's if you've never been racist. If you're not racist, you're fattest. If you're not fattest, you're somethingist. Stop parading your self-righteousness today with opinion after opinion, because in that way you're going to deflect the ability to change. Pull your head in. Be circumspect and start to change the person inside the circle first. You know, there's a notorious story, like it might be legendary, but this naval ship, US Navy, was in Canadian waters and realized, heading straight on for another ship, and said, "You need to change course 10 degrees. The other people got back on the radio and said, you change course 10 degrees. And he said, we are a missile cruiser. of the US Navy. You change course, you Canadians. And they said, they just went back and said, no, I think it'd be a good idea if you change course. And finally came back, I am a US commander of a US naval battleship, armed to the hilt. Change course now. And then coming straight back was, we're a Canadian lighthouse. And we recommend you change course. I'll just summarize the last 6 months in your life. Want everyone else to change. Everything else to change. Yet everything is there to change you. If you could just pull it in a bit, pull your head in a bit, and be a bit more humble, then God says we've got business. Because the Bible says that he lifts up the humble. Sometimes, I'm going to digress here for a second, right? Sometimes God brings different people into our path. Like if you're in a connect group, there's always one person in the connect group that annoys you. Generally. If you're in at work, there's generally one person at work that is annoys you, right? And even though they look like they're sent from Satan, they're actually being sent by God. And I've just listened. This is slightly odd me saying this, but you'll get this, right? That here's some people, right? You'll identify them. Firstly, there's the really happy person where everything's awesome. And that really happy person becomes the most annoying person because you love your self-pity. And your self-pity is part of your problem. Is that you have a pity party not realizing that self-pity is as sinful as adultery. And so someone else's happiness becomes and highlights your cynicism. And it's as if God's trying to take the pus and bring the pus to the surface of your cynicism, of your sarcasm, of you licking wounds. And he's trying to bring it to the surface so that you can be happy when others are happy, be sad when others are sad, so you can be less consumed about your misfortunes. Some of you are like a broken record. Just we have heard that story 1,000 times. Some of you just need to throw the record away. Break self-pity and come back to humility. There's the freeloader. How annoying are freeloaders? You know, people that turn up to Connect Group never with any food. You know, how annoying are they that they're on incapacity benefits and they're going to Spain for a month, you know? How annoying is it when people get stuff for free? And also when there's a healing line, they're the ones that get healed. And they haven't worked a full day's work in all the last 10 years. And, you know, often these people are there to squeeze the pus of your self-righteousness. There's nothing good about you that wasn't and isn't borrowed from heaven. You and your element are Donald Trump times 1,000. You are only good because of God. And so humility is to recognize everything about you that's good has come from God. Nothing's of yourself. You've got no leg to stand on. He who hasn't sinned, cast the first stone. It shocks me that Madonna should get on a high horse and be anti-Trump when she's brought in the biggest load of filth that our culture has seen for 30 years was introduced on the back of one woman, and she should have the gall of self-righteousness to stand up against a man who has historically had similar sins. But she wrote the rule book on how to objectify and denigrate women. She wrote the rule book. There is a self-righteousness in our society that you need to cleanse yourself of. It's none of your business, most of it. And pull back, and when you see the freeloader, when you rise up in self-righteousness because you are a hard-working northern lad, quit the self. The only reason you got a job is the grace of God. The only reason why you're alive is the grace of God. You should be dead. You shouldn't be here right now. And so get off your hobby horse and get humble, because God lifts up the humble. I'll just give a couple more, then I'll finish right. There's the opposer. There's often people that were friends that now they took offense to you and they turned against you. They criticize you, mimic you, they plot your downfall. And in that, this incredible self-defense that rises up within us, that we want to get on Instagram and tell them what we think, get on Twitter, tell them what we think. And yet Jesus was led like a lamb to the slaughter and he was silent because he realized that his father was his defense lawyer and he stopped self-defending. And I would say part of your humility is to stop self-defending. Even if what they say is completely wrong and they've completely misjudged you, stop it. Just stop it. Just zip it. Zip it up. Say nothing. But transfer the pain of it over to your defense lawyer, which is God. Jesus is your defense lawyer. He stands for justice. And so while you're standing up for it, God can't stand up for it. But when you surrender to God, he can stand up for you. And the last person is the disappointer. And it's usually a pastor. It's usually like a boss or a spouse. Often it's a dad. And often, you know, the reason why you isolate and the reason why you're not as friendly as you wish you were is because of self-protection. Self-protection is a form of arrogance because it's all about you. The reason why you don't hug strong enough, the reason why you don't return the text quick enough, the reason why you're hard to find at times is because of self-protection. It's because you've been hurt. It's only the church that remains hurt for 10 years. An athlete remains hurt for a minute. The moment the stretcher comes out, he's now injured. After being injured, he's in hospital, he's recovering. Meanwhile, the church is still hurt. I'm still hurt. A hurt means you're still associated with the time and the place and the person who hurt you. Change your lingo. Stop it. Stop it. God's your protector. And God, a bruised reed, he's not gonna pull out. A smoldering wick, oh, we know what that's like. He's not gonna snuff you out. He's your protector. If you could allow him to protect you, your flame's gonna return. It's gonna return. I'd bring it in just with a few quick, if I can find it. Just here's the summary: 5 keys to humility. Number 1, stop trying to change everybody else. Number 2, stop staying hurt. Number 3, stop over advertising your change. The worst thing you can do is put on Twitter, "I'm on a diet," because the power of people thinking, "Told you so," saw you at Macca's, is so strong. Just be a little quieter, a little bit more humble about you changing so much, right? Just sure you lost 10 pounds in 10 days. You might be able to keep that up. We know that. So just share with a couple of close confidants, but don't overshare, because otherwise people's negativity will kill you. Stop ignoring the small changes. Celebrate the small changes. Be your own fan. Have your quiet times, because God knows how much you change. Your partner still thinks you're the same, and yet you've changed. You've changed. You've changed. Get your hair in a man bun now. Never used to be able to do that. It's because you've changed. You've changed. You've changed. No one else sees the change, but you need to celebrate the change. Celebrate the 1 pound loss. Celebrate the 1 degree change, because you're changing. And just lastly, stop allowing yourself to explode or implode. Just stop allowing yourself to fly off the handle. I'm finishing on that point. Here's the secret of life. It's because by steps, right? Secret of life is 3 steps forward, just stand there while the cyclone rages. Stand there. What most people do is they do 3 steps forward. When the awkwardness comes, they explode, which takes them 2 steps backwards. And then God, by his grace, takes you 4 steps forward. And then you totally implode back to the person you are no longer. And it takes you like 4 steps backward. And now you're exactly the same place you were 2 years ago. You don't need to be brilliant. You just need to stop going backwards. You just need to stop exploding. Paul said to Timothy, don't lose your head. Just hold yourself together when the tension comes. You know, like you can throw stuff and you can have going back into depression and et cetera, et cetera. But in one way, you'll lose ground. The Bible says, stand. Take a stand. When the enemy comes against you, dress yourself for battle. Stand. Don't even say charge forward like David against Goliath. Just stand. What are you doing? I'm just standing here. What are you doing? It's better than going backwards. And I think that's the secret of all the leaders that I know in Hope City Church. They have difficult times like you, awkward times like you. But it's just, they stop themselves flying off the handle. That's all. That's all. And you can, with the grace of God, you can do that. If you could humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, not shrivel up.
Oh, woe is me.
And not swell up. I'm the greatest thing to walk the earth. Then God will lift you up. God's desire is to lift you up. He doesn't want to work beside you, devoid of you. He wants to work through you. So if God wanted another Wigglesworth or another Moses, he'd create one. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you, but he wants a better you. And so do you. He wants a bigger you, and so do you. He wants a fresher you, and so do you. He wants a new wineskin. So just allow God to reinvent you. Allow the pastors to meddle and save your anger. Just, you know, be like, just, I don't know, just control yourself. Allow yourself to wear bigger clothing than looks cool on you. Allow yourself to become a nobody, so that God can take the Nokia out of your hand. The Nokia is my Nokia. I've had many conversations with this Nokia. Yeah, but look at what God wants to replace it with. A smart life. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has planned for those intimately acquainted with God.